Hey yo, and here we go, another episode of We Talk Music is on the air and in your ear, and once again I am Martin, joined by the King of the Casters, Mr. Brett Podcast. And Brett, today's guest, please introduce everybody to who we're talking to.
Well, you know, this time we have such an amazing singer, and I've been listening to him for many, many years, and I'm really happy to finally get him on the show. He's got a new project called Chalice of Sin coming out June 18th from Frontiers. I mean, he's sung for Crimson Glory, Seven Witches, Leather Wolf, you know, so many bands. So, Wade Black, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you guys very much, too, man. It's my pleasure to, you know, be back around again. You know, I took a little bit of a break and, you know, released a couple other things, my other band, War of Thrones. But other than that, yeah, ready to get back down to business and flying the flags of metal.
Well, and it's great that you're, you know, I mean, again, it comes down to your voice. I mean, your voice is so fantastic, and you're showing so much on Chalice of Sin. And I think that's one of the things that I found most interesting was that you've really taken this, you know, kind of that extra step, it feels like.
Well, with this band, it's a little different. Well, not different from most bands. Everybody's over in Europe, so the majority of the band is in Italy. My guitar player, Martin, is in Denmark, you know, and I'm here in Florida, here in America. So, you know, technology and the way that it works and everything, and, you know, it just all came together. It was like the record wrote itself. It was pretty weird.
So then how did everything come? So I assume Frontiers came to you about fronting a band, and then that became Chalice of Sin?
Well, what ended up happening was my first meetings with Frontiers I was actually auditioning for another artist that they had on there. And me and Pellegrino or Serafino started talking back and forth with each other. You know, we started sending him music. He absolutely loved it. You know, we sent him two songs, and then he texted me back and he was like, we love it. Send us two more. And the next thing is I'm signing the contract. I'm signing my EU deal and everything. And away we go, you know, like a roller coaster.
Well, and of course, getting the chance to work with Alessandro Del Vecchio. I mean, that guy's amazing. I mean, he's on everything that they do practically. And talk about a bundle of energy.
Yeah, he is. He's the sweetest guy that you'd ever meet. He wears many hats and stuff. As far as that, he just has a vision of what he wanted to do. You know, he put the band together. You know, they had gotten me in touch with him, and we started talking. He actually lived 20 minutes from me here in Florida, so that was our first meeting. Was he had texted me and he goes, "Where are you at?" And I said, "I'm in St. Pete. I'm 20 minutes from you." He texts me his address, and I show up at his house. You know, And the rest is history, man. You know, you can put as many people that you want of talent within the music industry and stuff, but still not guaranteed that you're going to come out with a good project or a good sounding record or anything. I mean, it's got to be you got to gel with everybody. You know, it takes everybody within the band to make that band what it is. You know, it's just takes everybody in order to get it done.
So how is it when you're in, you know, different locations like this that the songwriting comes about? Is it, do you get a guitar riff sent to you and then give some feedback, or how does it work?
Right. Well, I'll get musical ideas. You know, of course, the musician part of it will get done. You know, myself as a singer, I see it a little bit differently. But, you know, I'll get the music ideas first. I'll go through a bunch of songs, find something that really kind of catches me. You know, I'll work a melody to it, and then me and my writing partner, Rich Marks, will take it, and we'll put all the stuff, all our ideas together that sound good. You know, take apart, we say, trimming the fat, take away all the stuff that we really don't care for, and keep the skeleton idea of it, and just make it into a song. It's crazy how it ends up working, though. They you hear the melody in your head. And like I said before, it almost writes itself. It's crazy. I'll sit down with the pen and I'm just flying. I'm just writing. And then we'll read it after I'm done. And I'm just like, man, that's crazy how we come up with it.
Well, one of the things that I noticed too is that, you know, on this album, you've got so many different, you know, elements tackled. I mean, I think my favorite song is probably "Whiskey." Like, it just it's just such a cool vibe.
that's our Kiss, our rock and roll all night tribute to the 80s. You know, we're influenced by so many different things. You know, myself being in the music business for 20 years plus, you know, I've been signed to some of the biggest record labels. I've been so totally blessed to tour around the entire world, and just still to come out like this, it's sweet, a sweet victory, you know, for me. I'm 54 years old now. You know, I started this when I was 28. So it's been a long road, man. It's like a roller coaster. It's sour, sweet and sour kind of thing, you know. But I do thank everybody that's ever given me an opportunity, because without them, I never would have been here. My experience level and everything just keeps growing. You know, I learn something new every day.
Well, and then, you know, you talk, of course, about starting when you're 28. I mean, that actually seems like a fairly late start
singer. I mean, I had my local bands here and stuff, and we opened up for all the nationals that come through here, Vicious Rumors and so on and so forth, and Quiet Riot. But it never really did take off until, you know, latter part of my 20s, when I got the call from John Drenning to come down and join Crimson Glory.
So then at what point did you know that you were like not just a singer, but like a great singer?
Well, I think you're your own worst enemy when it comes to that and stuff. You know, I'm really critical on what I do, how I do it, how I sound, you know, overall. It's just a process, you know, that you really do try to, you know, dig deep, and you always want to try to grow as a musician. You always want to try to do different stuff and take, you know, like you were just saying, there's so many different aspects to this record. I think we cover about all genres of music, you know, but that's just, you know, our tribute to what we were inspired by, you know, comes out within us. You always want to do better. You always want to try to not stay in that safety net, to always take a chance, because it's going to make the song great and not so robot sounding. You know what I'm saying? It has feel, it has swing, it has like swagger, it has like attitude. And that's what you want to do as a musician. You want to try to create, and you want to try to keep creating, you know, the songs and your craft the best you can.
So do you go into it then, when it's time to lay the track down, confident that you can do with your voice what it is that you want to do for the song? Or is it more of a, let's try this and let's see how it goes?
No, when I come up with something, at this particular time, in my career, I'm super sure of what I'm going to do, what I'm about ready to tackle. It's crazy that I can try to do something that I'm thinking about doing and really just nailing it. So yeah, it's not a hard thing. After a while, after you do it for a little bit, you know, you tend to kind of get the idea how it works, how your voice works, how we work as songwriters, getting ideas across in the collaboration together. So,
well, and I guess, do you think that when people are writing music for you, I guess they probably have a pretty wide open palette, knowing that you can handle most things. Do you think that they try to write for your voice?
Absolutely. They know, like I said, I've worked with my writing partner for the last 15 years now. And we just, when we start bouncing ideas back and forth to each other, it's just so natural. You know, he knows exactly what I'm going to do. He knows exactly how I'm going to do it, you know, and it's quite magical when it happens, because we sit and we listen to it back, and we're totally amazed. We're like, oh my God, I can't believe that we just did that, you know? And then, as that happens, you know, we just got done with the Chalice of Sin record. We'll end up starting to record the second sophomore effort, Chalice of Sin, coming up here in probably late August, September. Then my band that I have together, War of Thrones, we had released a record like 3 years ago, but we're actually starting our sophomore record. We've got Patrick Johansson from Yngwie coming and playing drums. We've got a couple different people that are going to come in and help us. I think Bill Hudson said that he was going to come in and help us do some guitar, write some leads and stuff. But it's just amazing time right now for music. It seems like everything's kind of letting up a little bit, and it's going to give us the freedoms to get over and tour and to, you know, to come and see the fans and actually get back to real life. Man, it's been really frustrating.
It's actually really interesting that you're going to do a follow-up already to Chalice of Sin. Is it that you wrote just so many songs that you wanted to get them out there, or are you starting fresh with a new palette? How many songs did you write for the first album in total?
We've got like 30 songs that we're messing around with right now. When we get an idea, something that's good, you know, we try to get the fresh idea or the first take of it. That way we can come back to it and kind of get it where we need to. So, yeah, it's a crazy process how it ends up working, though. But it seems like it's working. So if it's not broke, we're not going to fix it.
Yeah, very good point. How much time, like a week, do you spend on music kind of thing? Like, how much would you say that you spend on Chalice of Sin, you know, War of Thrones, that kind of thing?
I've got a couple different things that I do. I've got a acoustic band that I mess around with called the Bathrobe Millionaires that we go and do 80s kind of acoustic stuff, and we mess around with that. Then I've got a Judas Priest tribute band that I do. So I'm practicing, whether it's any of this stuff, and recording 5 days a week.
Oh, that's impressive.
Still at this time, you know, I'm trying to keep up with Sean Peck from Cage. He seems to be the hardest working man in metal right now.
there's a lot of them. I mean, I'd argue that Alessandro's the hardest working man.
Well, he is, but there's different elements. Sean's like metal, like Alessandro's like everywhere. You know, he can do a metal band like Chalice of Sin, and then he goes to play with Hardline or his band Edge of Forever. I call him the other day. He's hanging out with Jack Blades. I can't talk right now, Wade. I'm having lunch with Jack Blades. You know, or sorry, Wade, I can't talk right now. I'm with Tracy Guns and I'm writing songs with Michael Sweet. I'll call you back later. You know, so it's a totally different animal. It's so great to me to be blessed. I am blessed every day to still be here, to still be relevant, and to sign a deal with such a prestigious label such as Frontiers. You know, and this is a numerous deal that I end up signing with them as well. So, you know, we'll wait and see. But you're always kind of guaranteed that success because you're surrounded by so many good people, you know, that are doing such a great job on promotion and everything. Justin Hardman from AFM is actually helping us with some promotion as well, as you talked with him earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody's just doing a great job. We've had close to 63,000 hits on our video that's been up for a couple of weeks, I think 2.5 weeks now. The second single drops Monday, and I think it is the next month on the 19th. The record will be released with the third single from the record. What did you guys think of the whole thing? You were saying that there were a bunch of different elements within. It's like that song that we wrote about the guy crossing Antarctica, you know. I was reading this thing, and Alessandro had texted me, and it was this thing about this guy. He crossed Antarctica, and we wrote a song about it. We're actually going to send it to the Olympics and see if they're interested in it. But a bunch of different kind of songs and stuff, you know. What was your favorite tracks that you heard that you really liked stand out?
Well, I can say for myself, Whiskey was number one, but like Through the Eyes of a Child, I really like that one. And
did you hear the Japanese version?
No, I didn't actually.
There's a Japanese version where it's all just acoustic.
Oh, yes.
No
drums,
that sounds great. No anything, and it's the most beautiful thing you've ever heard, man.
Then yes, I need to hear that version.
Yeah, that's also my favorite song. So I mean, I love the album because there's just so much power behind the music,
mm-hmm.
So much energy.
I appreciate
it. Really feels, it feels like it feels like it's a project of passion.
Absolutely, this is a labor of love for us. My wife will tell me sometimes when I'm not practicing or whatever, and you know, I'll get all crabby and stuff. She was like, nope. She was like, give him a call. He's like, get this together and get back out on the road so you can be happy. So, this is our happy place, guys. This is what we do. We have a metal heart. We always want to try to strive and try to bring our fans the best that we possibly can, man. I'm just, like I said before, I'm just so God blessed to work with the Frontiers, Serafino, and everybody that's there, Mario, and Al, and everybody. They've just all done an incredible job. The video guys, to everything that they do, just has a touch of class to it. It's amazing.
Well, it's funny, you opened up saying you're flying the flag of metal, and I thought to myself, what an amazing title for this podcast.
Absolutely.
You're already giving it to us.
We're flying the flags of metal always. Like I said, I've been so graced to sing for some of the best bands in the entire world, some of the biggest record labels and stuff. I'm so humbled, and I'm so grateful to be back, and to be back in such a way that it touches everybody that needs to hear it.
You know, and one thing that I am really impressed with about you, Wade, is that, you know, just reading some of your earlier interviews, and it's just like this idea that you know exactly who you are, and you know exactly what you want to do and how you do it, and whether that makes you, you know, like the easiest person to deal with all the time, it doesn't matter, because it's just like you just try your best to be a good person and just do your best at your craft.
Right. It's frustrating to kind of be in a band, because you're dealing with five people. It's kind of like a marriage in a sense, you know. You're trying to get your grand vision across to them, you know, and sometimes, and I've had to fire people over this and stuff, they just don't get it. You know, I've worked my entire career to get to this point and stuff, and I try to give these guys, you know, a chance, and they just don't get it, or they're all rock starred out. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. You haven't done anything yet to have that kind of attitude. But it's just funny, you know, how some people perceive that, or how some people act like that after they get a little taste of it and stuff. I'm just like, nope, this career is not for you. You will not last in any band acting like that. So, you know, it's crazy, man.
Well, and then like, so how have you grown? I mean, from especially the days early, but I mean, from that moment that you joined Crimson Glory and did Astronomica to now.
I like I said, I had been in local bands for a long time and stuff. At that particular time, I think I was just actually starting to take some opera lessons when I had gotten in there. And you have to understand this. This is the band that I saw from record labels saying that you know, we will not sign any other singer with Crimson Glory. It has to be Midnight. You know, and it's just that kind of stuff that you go through. And then I got the gig, and then I was like, holy shit, you know, trying to sing all of that old stuff and everything. It was a super, super, super intimidating time for me. You know, it was a huge learning curve, and it really snapped me up, and it made me be a better singer, I mean, and performer and stuff. I mean, you're talking about my first tour was Camelot and Evergrey and Crimson Glory back in 2000. So you could imagine, you know, the animosity and the nervousness. I felt like I was going to puke. I was like, oh my good God, you know, and what a huge shoes to fill. I loved Midnight. I hung out with Midnight. He was one of my best friends. He was the most loving person that you'll ever meet in your entire life. And you have to understand, for me, you know, I loved Crimson Glory, and I still love Crimson Glory, and it'll always be a part of me. That was a fingerprint on the world for me. And how prestigious to be involved with a band like that is so loved and just immortalized by people around the world, you know. Crimson Glory will never die, you know. All you got to do is plug it in, man. Listen to it. Listen to the feeling. Listen to the love, you know. And then popping back again and doing Leatherwolf, you know. I mean, that record is incredible. I don't have to pat myself on the back with that. I mean, that record stands on its own even today. And they come back and try to do a better version of it, which failed. Sadly, sorry guys, but you know, dude, just back to being blessed. I'm just so super lucky. I'm living my dream. I live here in sunny Florida. You know, I hang out by my pool. I do music. I'm loving life, and it's just the most amazing part of my career.
Well, like for me, I know that like I got into Crimson Glory actually because of Astronomica, because like I just, you know, you came into the band and it was just like, oh, the new singer, and I just listened and I thought, wow, I mean, you know, and you're such a great singer. So I went back, and of course, you know, Midnight, absolutely, like you say, I mean, such big shoes to fill. But and I love the fact that you were friends, that you became friends. I think that's just fantastic.
Yeah, there was never a bad bone within his body. He loved me. He loved what I did. He told me one time, he was like, you lack feeling. That's exactly what you lack. He was like, there's nothing that I can say about your singing. Your singing's awesome, but you lack the feeling and stuff, which you get in time, you know, as you go through, you know, ups and downs within your life, give you stuff to write about. But what a beautiful, beautiful person. I love him and I miss him every single day.
I know that they were attempting to re-record Astronomica, and of course Leatherwolf did re-record that album. Like, what do you think of moments like that? We kind of know about the records. Yeah,
I think it's a sad attempt that they can't write any new songs for themselves, you know, actually. And you know, that's just the bottom line, you know, especially with Leatherwolf, when it's run like a dictatorship. And, you know, they kick the original members out, the ones that wrote the hits for them in the first place and stuff. It's just a big crap show, you know, with stuff of that nature. You know, with Crimson Glory, I would do something with them again, you know, if they called me. It's not like there's any bad blood between any of us. But, you know, yeah, different situations could be run a lot cleaner and a lot smoother, you know, but it would prolong their lifetime within the music business.
You had mentioned that you received some operatic training. What kind of vocal training have you received, and what do you do to take care of your voice?
I sing so much. It's like a muscle. It just keeps getting stronger and stronger. Breathing techniques and stuff is definitely vital. Making sure that you're supporting, you know, correctly when you're singing, you're not hurting yourself, you know. Frank Sinatra called it the mask, you know. Mm-hmm. Make sure that it's a little nasally sounding and stuff, you know, and it's not hurting you. Just you know, warm ups, warm downs, just singing a lot and stuff, and just correct technique is the key to prolonging.
I mean, we've heard a lot of stories about like what people do, you know, in advance of a show. I mean, like we heard that like Paul Rogers won't talk to anybody before a show, really, because it's just, you know, he's keeping his voice, you know, prepared
right.
for that.
When you talk, talking is one of the most dangerous things that you can do with your voice, besides singing, you know, especially you want to give it a rest. You want to keep it a rest, you know, give it a break, because, I mean, you're really pounding that stuff when you're out doing, you know, five nights on, one night off, touring scenarios and stuff. So it's pretty nerve wracking, you know, it's crazy. But, you know, eat right, take care of yourself and stuff. For God's sakes, do not smoke, you know, and yeah, you'll be in the business for a long time.
Well, and I think it's like when you think about, you know, being in the business and all the people that you meet, I mean, you know, do you look at other people, other singers, and do you look at them and kind of like try to figure out their techniques in that way?
There are a bunch of singers, man, that I listen to that just really just freak me out, man. That cat from Witherspoon.
Oh yeah,
he's got an amazing voice and stuff. I mean, there's so many people. Mark Lopes from Ross the Boss.
Boy, oh boy.
That guy is a fucking animal. I mean, I met him over at Vakken, and I went up and introduced myself, and he was like, I know exactly who you are. and I laughed at myself. The same thing with the Hammerfall singer. Yeah, yeah, we know you, Wade Black, you know, and I just laughed to myself, you know. But, yeah, you know, I guess after a while, you know, you become the people that you admired the most, you know. Like I love John Oliva, I love Sabotage, but now, you know, with me, with now doing it 20 plus years and stuff, you know, I've taken that, you know, that seat at the table kind of thing, you know.
You talk about John. I mean, John Oliva, he's one of my all time favorite performers. I mean, Sabotage.
I've met him so many times. I've hung out with him. I've ate dinner with him. I've known him for 30 years, right around here, right here in Florida. Met his brother. I mean, met everybody. We had Wackles in the band for a little bit till John Drenning fired him after the photo shoot.
Yeah, I know, which seems crazy, right?
I was like, what are you doing, man? You can't fire Steve. That's Dr. Kildrowns, bro.
Yeah.
We went through the first rehearsal and stuff, man. He really couldn't. He wasn't getting the gist of it, man. And I was just like, oh, damn, he's going to get fucking canned before he even gets a chance.
Oh, no.
Oh, brutal. Brutal. The ups and downs, man. I felt so bad for him, man. I was like, damn it.
Well, and the thing is that especially around that St. Petersburg area, like, it's such a hotbed of great musicians that have come
out of
it.
Dude, we got fucking Atheist here. We got fucking Monstrosity. We got all the big hitter. We got fucking Cannibal Corpse, dude. This is Tampa Bay, man. This is Tampa, bitches.
I know. And like it just, I didn't, you know, like, I'd never realized it until I was really listening to Sabotage and stuff like that. And then it was just kind of like, oh yeah, they're in the,
they called Tampa the metal capital of the world.
Yeah.
So chew on that, guys. It's not California. It's Florida. You hear that, Sean Peck? It's not California. Loved it. I played with Four Tremors when they were down here. We did Painkiller. And Harry ends up giving me the microphone as I'm walking up on stage. Ripper's like, where's Wade Black at? He was like, y'all know the Astronomica. Y'all know the Lucifer's Hammer. He's like, man, you don't know any metal. You don't know any metal. He's like, get up here, Wade. And we got up there and we sang Painkiller and stuff. And it was just killer, you know, with such talent that's in that band. I love Ripper to death, you know. And Sean, you can tell it's one of my favorite bands. But, you know, what a great bunch of guys, man. Sean's like the James Brown of the metal community, you know.
Yeah, you got to love that. You got to love that. And so, you know, let's talk about just, you know, Priest and doing a cover band for them. Like, you know, what does doing a cover band kind of bring to you as an artist?
I love it. That's what I grew up on, man. That's what made me want to sing. John Oliva, Rob Halford, all that stuff, Lou Gramm that I grew up listening to. I mean, my God, dude, there were so many different things that I was listening to. Then I think all hell broke loose when I started hearing Iron Maiden was really when it started to sink in. And I was like, oh, shit, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. You know, all my friends have grown up. They've all got haircuts. They've all got families. They've all got regular jobs, you know. Not me. I've always been in bands. I've always toured. I've always, you know, kind of, what would I call that? Selfish in a way, because it's just what I do. You know, I don't mean to try to hurt anybody. I just want to go and do what I want to do.
It's funny you mentioned Iron Maiden. I love Iron Maiden. And, you know, they're just nominated for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Didn't make it in. And I'm so
I know.
Pissed off.
It's sad. It's so sad. And, you know, I will say I love Judas Priest. It's one of my most favorite bands in the world. And you guys stop kicking KK around,
yeah,
kicking his band around and saying bad stuff about Ripper. That man is just out trying to work. That song is killer, even though I don't know what a Thunderbolt Lightning is. I will say that. Weird title. Great song. I love KK. I love what he does. You know, I don't know. I mean, I think that the band will be around if they can keep it up, you know, and keep the fans and stuff, which they will. But, you know, kind of weird, you know, how people are. I hear the same thing about me, you know. Oh, we don't like you. We don't like your voice. We don't da-da-da-da-da. Shit, I would ask him. I was like, send me stuff of your band. Well, I don't play in a band. Well, good, then you don't have an opinion. Right? Stop it. I've stopped interviews before. I'm like, nope, I'm not doing it. Not fucking doing it. I said, you play instruments? Do you know anything about music at all? No, I'm just a journalist. Okay, this interview's over. You could have a nice day. Fuck out of here. So,
but you know, and it's like I read though, you know, from what you said earlier in another interview, it's too, is that this concept of you don't look at this as being like power metal. It's just like you look at great music as great music, and Mont and I are exactly
music.
The same.
We're not reinventing the fucking wheel. We're just writing music. We're not. It's just a different spin on something, you know. few people, just God, they're just so judgmental. No, no, no. Stop all the whining and stuff and just be glad that you have another piece of music that you can listen to that's involved with Judas Priest or me or anybody else out there. Enjoy the music, man.
Well, that's it. You know, like, I mean, when we had the chance to talk to you, I mean, it was like I jumped at it because like I say, I mean, I've been following your career for 30 years. And so, you know, it's, but the thing is that we all started from the same point. We all started from, like, you know, putting on our headphones and, like, cranking up Iron Maiden, Judas Priest, or whatever.
We were all local once. We just got the chance to go out and do it. You know, being offered it and doing the job are two different things.
Yeah, for sure. So then, you know, like, what's the difference between Wade Black in the studio and Wade Black live?
God, I think I tend to always just want to just fucking just balls out, just really just sing hard. You know, lately I've kind of been backing off a little bit, you know, and maybe trying to find like different aspects of really what sounds good, you know, just singing hard all the time and just, you know, all that aggression and that power and stuff, you know, the tone is really what you want to shoot for and stuff. So live, you know, and that's really where a band shines is live. You know, you can polish as much as you want to when you're doing a record. You know, the Chalice of Sin, I wanted this record to not be polished. I wanted it to have those little nuances of stuff, you know, the string scratches, the natural stuff that you do, you know. But if the band sucks live, then yeah, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, for sure. And that's what I love about Chalice of Sin. I love the fact that you're pushing yourself, that you're going these different places. But like I tell you, watching the video for Chalice of Sin, and it's just like you're so intense.
Oh, yeah. Brutal, man. I appreciate that. You know, I wanted to come out of the gate, and I really wanted to, you know, make a statement. You know, you can be in a band, and there's numerous bands, I won't mention any names, that actually use that safety net, and they've done the same record the last five times and stuff. We really wanted to stand out. We really wanted to be different, and really wanted to try to do something different.
Are there any plans for touring? Have you guys started talking about it? Is it a possibility?
We're in the middle right now. I've got a Zoom message with our manager that just jumped on. I can't tell you who it is right now, but there are things, there are works of talking with Frontiers and with this gentleman about getting Chalice of Sin over for some festivals coming up here in 2022 and a definite tour. There's so many different bands that we could tour with the people that are on this roster that is just stupid.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah, no kidding. What's your ideal concert setting? Where do you prefer, like a big festival, or do you like a small, you know, small club?
I'd like to do a little bit of both. Of course, the festival thing is super cool, you know, because you get to play to all those people. It's insane. But then again, you know, I mean, small clubs and being intimate and really, really kind of face to face a little bit more for the crowds and stuff, and for the fans, they like it a little bit better.
Yeah, for sure. I can well imagine. You know, I guess one of the things that is always so interesting when I'm thinking about playing live is, like, you know, when you go out with the different bands, like, how easy, like, do you get along with all of them in most cases?
It's funny you ask that. It's like sweet and sour candy, you know. and it just is, you know, as soon as you get on the road, who you like and who you don't like. You know, it's horrible. But the thing is, and with me, you know, I kind of was treated like the black sheep, you know, this and that, or I'm a dick and I'm hard to work with. No, I just wanted paid. I wanted my money, and whoever owed me money out there that didn't give me money, best money I ever spent. So.
It's the truth.
It's horrible. It was horrible. You know, I mean, you know, you're treated like you're an asshole when you're not getting paid. I was just like, yeah, you guys can have a nice day. That's why so many turmoils happen within bands. You know, give them the credit. It's just like Chris Holmes, you know, and Blackie going through all this arguments and this and that. So give the guy credit. If it wasn't for him, you would never have had a fucking band to begin with. So stop it. It takes everybody within the band to make the band, period.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's always so interesting when you see the bands. I mean, it, like, Kiss comes to mind, of course, where it's just like Gene and Paul now own the band, and it winds up being Tommy and Eric that are just like hired guns, even though they're doing so much for the music.
That was the same thing with Ace and Peter. Yep. They were just hired on people after a while. Sad.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the music business is definitely like it's a harsh place to live. So, I mean,
it's pretty snaky, man. There's a lot of backstabbing going on, and you can believe that for sure.
But yeah, so I think that's what makes your career in the music industry, like, you know, that much more impressive, is the fact that you have managed to kind of, you know, like wage your way through that.
Isn't that funny? I'm like the local soccer ball, man. They kick me around for a little bit, you know, sponge me out, take all my talent, you know, for what they need me for, and then kick me to the curb. It's quite sad.
But that's what I love about Chalice of Sin. Like, I'm happy to hear that this is like a band and it's going to, you know, come back together again, and that you could do live shows.
A project, absolutely. This is going to happen, man. It's all coming true. Dreams do come true, guys.
Can we expect a little bit of a different sound in the sophomore album?
I think that I want to try to stay heavy, man. I want to try to stay as heavy as we can and keep that groove and the hooky choruses and stuff, man. We've already started writing it. So we'll just have to go through all the songs that we do have and just become inspired, man. It's like writing stuff out of thin air. It's like magic. Pretty cool.
Well, and one thing, like, so in the case of this album, like, the sequencing is fascinating, because, like, when you end on Nightmare, which is so awesome, and it's such a neat way to end, because it really does have that, like, Nightmare feel to it. So, like, how many times did you kind of shuffle the order to try to get, you know, this final running?
Oh, you're talking about the order of how the songs are played?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's all the magic of Alessandro, man. Once again, the man that wears the 10 different hats and stuff. He's just amazing, man. He put together the arrangement. He put together the band and stuff. The band that you hear on the record. So, I mean, it's really quite amazing.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question. I think it's pretty. It must be really important to work with people that you can trust to do the best.
Al mailed me the other day and said that, you know, if there's anything that I can ever, ever do for you, and I had talked with the Eleonora from the label as well, and she told me the same thing, if there's anything that we can ever do for you, you know, please do not hesitate in getting in touch with us, that way we can keep it, you know, keep it right, you know, and I was like, well, that's very nice to feel, you know, to be treated. It's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, for sure, it must, I mean, I think any artist really just wants to feel wanted in that regard, so the more that you can get that is great. Like, what has the fan reaction been so far like to Chalice of Sin that you can see?
Everything that I've read has been super positive, you know, and the same thing are going to be with the reviews and stuff. This record's going to do great with the reviews, great with the fans and stuff that really like that music, you know. If you listen to different style of music or whatever, you're really kind of not going to get the heavier music, you know. If you're a heavy music lover, then you're going to automatically latch onto it and love it.
Yeah, for sure. And again I think that there's so much here for all of those people to dig into, and I respect the fact that you've taken all of your influences and kind of jammed them together to form this album.
Right. Out of 10, what do you give it, both of you?
That's interesting. You know, we do the occasional reviews. I think 8.5.
8.5, yeah. That was exactly where I was going to go, yeah.
And I could definitely live with that. That's that's awesome. But other than that, man, yeah, it's just to still be here and still be in the business and stuff, and still being able to create and write with your friends, you know, somebody that you know that has your back and stuff, and it's just most, you know, we own it this time. I'm not filling in for anybody, you know. Mm-hmm. This is the band that I'm in now, and that's just it, man. We're gonna forge forward. It's gonna be a new War Throne. It's gonna be a new Chalice of Sin. You know, we're gonna get out. We're gonna try to tour as much as we possibly can. So,
how do you view the difference between Chalice of Sin and War of Thrones?
It's totally different. Some of the music comes from Alessandro. Some of it comes from us. Some of it come from Martin and Denmark. So there's a bunch of different ways that we can go about, you know, the best way to write that piece of music.
Do you think that if some other bands called, I mean, obviously, like, you've worked with the Seven Witches and the Leather Wolf and stuff like that, like, if some other bands called and said, like, oh, we want you as a singer, would you, is that something that you're still looking for?
If it's a payable and they can write me a check or they can send me some money in the mail, then yes. If not, then I'm happy, very happy and very satisfied with my position right now within the musical realm.
Yeah, obviously. You don't want to not get paid for doing a job. I think there's plenty of musicians that are not getting paid right now.
Brutal.
How much then, like, with the pandemic, like, what did that do to you? You know, like, I guess personally, like, did it allow you to kind of go and be like, oh, okay, I'm going to take the time to write the songs? Like, did you make yourself busy?
It ripped my heart out, you know, but once we knew that we were locked down and stuff, I mean, we really had, you know, ample amount of time to sit down and do whatever we wanted.
Yeah, because I'm always fascinated by, like, what musicians have chosen to do in that time, and we know, like, some of them it was a challenge, and they had to kind of force themselves to
different way to live, and you gotta learn how to adapt, you know, within it. I mean, you're faced with different challenges and stuff. Doesn't always, you know, go with what you want to do. It's what you have to do.
Mm-hmm. And I guess you seem pretty good at adapting to challenges.
Dude, I'm like a metal chameleon and stuff. Doesn't matter. When I hop on a different color leaf, man, I just change to the leaf. You know, I'm a metal chameleon.
That's awesome. I love that.
Now you've given us a second great title on the show.
They have it. I'm gonna start making shirts. I'm going to be like, you know, I'm the metal chameleon, you know, and I'll just put like a metal helmet on the chameleon and stuff, you know, doing a metal sign. Sell it.
I would totally buy that. I would be right in for that.
Damn it, man. But we're still trying. We're still swinging. You know, we'll never stop. Like I said, we've got a metal heart, and we love music. We love what we do. And, you know, like I said, to come out in such a grand fashion and stuff is just it's just a dream come true, man. I can't believe it. I'm pinching myself.
Well, and I mean, and honestly, we're really happy for you. I mean, happy that this is turning out for you, because I mean, and that you're able to do like just a great record and keep working. You know, it's awesome. So, I mean, thank you for.
Honestly, it comes across that you're in a good place. Like, we can hear it when we're talking to you.
That's awesome, man. And I love you guys, man. Without you guys and without our fans, we're nothing, man. We're nothing. And you might as well stay in the bedroom and stuff, man. It's the fans and the love of the fans and the loyalty and stuff. This is what drives us. You know, it's so beautiful to feel that amount of love.
Well, Wade, you know, we've loved having you on the show. It's been just such an absolute pleasure for us. So we want to give you the chance now to tell all the folks where they can find you, keep up with you, and, of course, how they can listen to Chalice of Sin and buy it.
Just Facebook, Twitter at Wade Black, Wade Black Metal, and go to Frontier Records, go to the store, buy the record, support it. You know, we took a lot of time and a lot of love making this. So it's now you guys' turn to go out, pick it up, love it, and, you know, keep that flag flying, man, because music is what we do, man. It tames the savage beast, so.
Sorry, don't go to Spotify and listen. Go and buy the damn thing.
I see it. I know, and Spotify. There's 50 different places that you can go and either buy this or stream it. Go to the record label, support it. That way we can go and do the next record, and we can keep metal alive and kicking, man. That's what it's all about.
That's right. Well, and you know, that's what we're trying to do. We're over here on our own end, flying the flag, you know, just for great music. And Wade, thank you so much for being on the show, and thank you so much for all the great music that you've produced in the years.
My pleasure. Thank you guys. Thank you guys so much, man. I appreciate that.
Oh, no problem. You know, looking forward to chatting with you again sometime.
Thank you guys so very much, man.
Well, thank you, Wade. All the best, and we'll talk again sometime.
Absolutely.
All right. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.